This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course, your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. We're just waiting for Shadow Minister for Health and Ambulance Services,
Georgia Crozier,
to ring in.
So, Tass, the way people can donate, because it's Radiothon, if they jump onto the Joy website, joy.org.au, what we really want people to do today is to do one of three things. Please sign up to a membership, and the membership rates are just above you there, Tass. So we just whizzed through the membership rates. So just on the window, go, hi, there you go, Tass, window.
The rates, Paul, are very, very simple. If you are wanting to make a concession payment, it's $42. A full payment, of course, is $84. A family payment is $124. And for those of you who'd like to make a passionate payment, now that gives you all sorts of other privileges.
Passionate.
It's $250. But, of course, all donations are welcome.
And also,
and everything over $2 is tax deductible.
Absolutely. You can also make a subscription this year. So one of the things you can do is actually go on to subscribe and make a daily or monthly donation to Joy, $2, $5, $10. And each of those subscriptions will also go in to win a prize on today's daily draw, which there are 10 prizes available to win.
Well, what an interesting thing. You could actually do a dollar a day, couldn't you? A dollar a day for a whole year is $365. Yep. That's not too bad.
Yep.
So, Macca, what are we doing?
Paul's just ringing Georgie Crozier, and I think we will have her on the line in a sec. Georgie is the Shadow Minister for Health and Ambulance Services. And we're going to be speaking to her.
I think we've got her, Macca.
I think we've got her now. Have we got her now?
It looks like Paul's having a conversation with her.
I think he's having
instead,
a conversation
Macca.
With her.
What do we want to talk with her about, Macca?
I don't know. No idea.
Hi.
Hey, Georgie, how are you? It's Macca and Tass here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Macca and Tass. I'm well, thank you.
That's good, good. Look, first off, we're asking all our guests, you know, as the first off, how are you keeping busy now? I know, you know, you're a shadow spokesman for health and ambulance services, but also, of course, you know, you're a member in the Legislative Council.
And, in fact, my local member, Macca.
Oh, Tass's local member, there you go. So,
oh, very good.
So what's going on, you know, in your work life, and also what sort of things are happening, you know, at your electorate office? What sort of inquiries are you getting? What sort of things are people feeding back to you?
Yeah, thanks, Macca. Look, it has been an extraordinary time, I think, for all of, well, everybody, you know, right around the world, but particularly Australians and Victorians. And as you say, what are we doing to help deal with this crisis? There's been a whole range of issues that have obviously come through my desk and from my colleagues, but importantly from constituents who have been confused about a range of things. But especially in my role as Shadow Minister for Health, there have been a lot of queries from not only health workers but also patients who have been confused and family members about what to do. So I've been trying to help.
What
those
sort
people.
Of queries have you been getting, Georgie? As a matter of interest?
Queries, well, there's been a range of things in terms of people have been turned away. They've rung the hotline, but they're being told to go and get tested, but then they were turned away from being tested. What do they do? You know, how do they deal with that? They're obviously very anxious and scared during this time, and that's just one example. Or others who can't get surgery, they've been told by their GPs that they need surgery, but they can't be seen by a specialist and hospitals aren't doing elective surgery, or they're not deemed to be serious enough to have surgery. So that's, you know, been incredibly distressing for people. There's just been a range of those sort of health related issues, but also from businesses. I've had people that have had their businesses just go under within a matter of days, and the distress that that's caused for them to be putting off their staff, but also them losing their business, and that has had a huge impact on their mental health. So it's helping people, you know, give them the advice about where they can go and get assistance and help through the state and federal governments, all of those initiatives. So it has been incredibly busy, I have to say.
It's an extraordinary time, and I can see, I feel so much for so many businesses and for so many individuals whose plans have changed and all of a sudden their lives have been turned upside down. But I was interested in your capacity as the opposition speaker for health. What some of your views around the elective surgery restrictions might be? What are your reflections on that?
Well, I'm really pleased that the National Cabinet have made that announcement to lift the restrictions on elective surgery, which happens in the coming, you know, days after this weekend. And I think that'll be a huge relief for so many people that are seeking various treatments that aren't emergency. Obviously, our hospitals are coping with all those emergency situations that are coming through the door, whether they're car accidents or heart attacks, etc. And I have to say what's concerning is so many people aren't fronting up because they're too scared to go into a hospital. And I think we need to get that message out. It's okay to present to a hospital if you're unwell and you need to. But the elective surgery list, to have that coming back gradually return to normal, having those things like screening procedures or the post-cancer reconstructions, colonoscopy screenings, all of those sort of things, joint replacements, cataracts, those sort of operations that will be now being undertaken will relieve a lot of distress for people, and I'm really pleased that those gradual restrictions are safe enough to be able to be done.
And Georgie, it's Macca again. Do we have capacity in the system to do these, to do this elective surgery? I understand level one, that list is pretty much being cleared. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's level two and level three that were really put on hold for a long... Do we have capacity for the hospital system to undertake them?
Well, Macca, you're right. So level two and level three is some of those procedures that I've spoken about, the joint replacements, the cataracts, the procedures that aren't deemed absolutely immediate but need to be done if you're, you know, you're going blind or you've got extensive pain from a hip or knee joint or IVF, which is very timely, you know, those sort of things. And obviously the screening for colonoscopies to screen for cancers and other ailments. But we do have capacity if it's done gradually, is what I'm led to understand. So as long as we have got enough personal protective equipment, that's incredibly important that we are, you know, we can have that to keep our healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, everybody who's attending to the patients in our hospital setting, as long as they have got that on board and we're able to conduct it in a, as I said, a gradual and safe manner, yes, there's capacity, because at the moment a lot of our wards are empty and nurses and doctors, yeah, especially in the private systems, are standing around.
Okay. Another question I had, there's been a lot of discussion, both federally and at a state level, about independent oversight in terms of what governments are doing, how they're spending the money, what they're spending it on. Can I ask you, Georgie, if would you like to, one, you'd like the Parliament to establish an independent oversight committee, is that correct?
Most definitely, but that was denied on Thursday when we went back into the Parliament. It was voted down by the government and members of the crossbench.
So would you advocate, because look, I know federally there's a particular view, not universally held, that Anthony Albanese should be part of the National Cabinet. It would also follow that if that happened, that your leader, Michael O'Brien, should be part of the, I think it's eight ministers that form the nucleus of the Victorian government response, that Michael O'Brien should be a component of that. Do you agree with that?
What I do know at a national level that's happening, Macker, is that is the Prime Minister and the state's state and territory leaders that are a part of that national cabinet, which is a makeup of a mix of Labor and Liberal leaders, which is a very good initiative so that we can be looking at this issue from a national perspective, but also states and to have that. Now, what I do know at a national level is that the opposition leader gets briefed regularly, and as does the various health ministers. That's not the case here in Victoria. Michael O'Brien doesn't have the same access or the briefing. All we're asking for is to have that bipartisanship aspect from Michael, from the Premier, to be able to reach out. Michael hasn't had that. He hasn't received that. Either of us, I've never received a phone call from the health ministers during this whole entire crisis. I've had to write and ask for briefings. The minister's office actually did reach out to me this past week and say, would I like another briefing, of which Michael O'Brien and I had it from the deputy chief health officer and the deputy secretary of the department. But we're not saying Michael should be sitting in amongst that gang of eight, the eight ministers that are sitting around that table.
These are extraordinary times, Georgie, and it's absolutely right that we do business in a different way. My understanding is that the reason why the National Cabinet exists is because most of the emergency powers actually sit with the states. They don't actually sit with the Commonwealth Government. So,
correct.
So in fact, what we need is the PM to engage with the premiers to actually turn the tap on emergency powers. Otherwise, the Prime Minister can't actually do anything. So that's a slightly different scenario. I think I think it's absolutely important that there is oversight because, it's possible for governments, federal and state governments, to proceed with rolling out a whole range of initiatives which actually don't get properly scrutinised. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you're so spot on, because these are extraordinary times and there is a whole range of initiatives that are being rolled out at a national level, but importantly at a state level. And if you look at the increase in borrowings of $24.5 billion to deal with this crisis, this is never before is there a greater time to have that oversight.
So, Georgie, if you were the Victorian Health Minister and Minister for Ambulance Services, what would you do differently?
Oh, I would be reaching out to all of us to say, to be briefing us regularly, to be telling us exactly what is going on. The transparency is absolutely critical here for the main reason that the community can have confidence in what is actually happening at the government level. And I think that is incredibly important, to have the confidence of the community so that they understand why these very restrictive decisions are being put upon us by our state government. And that's why we're asking for that independent oversight committee to understand why these decisions are being made and how that money's being spent.
Georgie, we're almost out of time. I'd like to ask you one final question. What's your message to our community this morning?
Well, it's Anzac Day, and it's been obviously a very important day in our national calendar. It is, and I can't believe the amount of people that got up at dawn, and recognised that at home. And it is about just staying safe, listening to the authorities in terms of what is going on. Keep that social distancing happening. It is so, so important to keep that social distancing occurring so that we can stop, this spread of the disease. And everybody just stay safe during these very, very uncertain times.
Great. Now, Georgie, in case you weren't aware, it's Joy Radiothon, and I'm going to encourage you to go online and become a member. Because if you're a member, you also get to have a vote.
I'll look into that.
Enjoy, and also if you're able, any donation over $2 is tax deductible, but I encourage you to go on there and have a look. A couple of colleagues of yours have actually been part of a video we've done. So Matthew Guy has spoken about supporting Joy as independent media, as has Tim Wilson and Michael Kroger. So there's a nice little...
Very happy to support you as well. You do a great service for your community.
Thank you. Look, thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for your work. We look forward to speaking to you again in the future. And please stay well.
Absolute pleasure. Stay safe, everyone.
Bye. Thank you very much, Georgie. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Keep independent voices on air. Support Joy Radiothon 2020. We are you. Head to joy.org.au for more details.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.